call me afterwards, Greg. Have fun, buddy.
Love Talk Radio.
Okay.
Welcome in, friends, to the Jazz Mill Broadcast, a celebration of all things jazz, featuring the great music of and interviews with some of the hottest singers and players on the planet. As always, your calls and feedback are welcome. Now, your host, Scott Henderson.
Well, that's my cue. That's the yellow weather. With the teeth, the tip of the tongue. Welcome in, folks, to the Jazz Mill Podcast. Hey, here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that researchers at the Oxford University recently found a correlation between high IQ and those who dig jazz, and that the more people listen to jazz, the smarter they got, which is very good news to a guy like me. And on top of all of that, the overwhelming majority of jazz lovers, they recycle, they're kind to small animals, and most floss daily. Like the man says, I am your humble host, Scott Henderson, and we are going to do our level best here to entertain you with great music, great discussion, and in-depth interviews with the hottest players, singers, and composers on the planet. As always, we invite your calls. We can't do this without you, folks, so feel free to give us a jingle, 515-602-9600. That's 515-602-9600, or you can make some new friends in the chat room if you'd like. That runs concurrently if you're catching us live at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Greg Rockingham, my worthy co-host, helped me put this show together, and it's a dandy. It's a part of a series that we're going to be doing on the Great American Songbook, and I think it's worthy of 20 parts, but we're going to do it in 8 parts, and we're really going to take a nice deep dive into its content and, you know, what were the considerations that, you know, made it possible for, you know, all of this great music to come out of our society, our culture, our country. So Greg Rockingham is a wonderful talent himself. He's been keeping the beat since he was 5 years old. He's an alumnus of the prestigious Interlochen Arts Academy and Northeastern University. He's worked with the likes of Nancy Wilson, Freddie Cole, Kenny Burrell, Glenn Miller, and Steely Dan, just to name a few. Presently, he plays with the Soul Message Band, and in my humble opinion, they are the hottest B3 combo east of the Mississippi. He can be heard weekly at Chicago's historic Great Green Mill. So welcome in, Greg, or can I just call you G-Rock? Have we worked our way to that point yet?
We're closer than ever. So how you doing? It's good to be here. And
good, man.
We're close with the G-Rock. We're closer than ever. We're
as long as we're making
some progress.
We're getting
past that hurdle. Making great progress.
It's like the guy said, you got to earn things in life. That's awesome,
that's
man.
Right.
So a friend of mine, Greg, that you might be able to relate to this. I mean, I've heard about the Great American Songbook since I was a little kid. But I never, you know, had to put it into words. And now that we're, you know, doing a show that is, you know, has that at its center, really, you know, I've got to be able to explain well what it is and in a few sentences. And a buddy of mine asked me, he said, you know, I've been listening to your show since you started a short time ago, and you made me interested in it. So what is it? You know, exactly what is it when you say Great American Songbook? What does that mean to you? If I asked you that same question, if you can do it succinctly, I'd love to hear how a real player would explain it to a lay person.
All right. Great American Songbook was started like in the early 20th century. And it was jazz standards, popular songs, show tunes, roughly from 1920 to 1960s that stood the test of time. Great songs like Gershwin, Cole Porter, great songs that jazz musicians pull from to this day. And roughly, like I say, songs between 1920s and 1960s. So that would be the quick definition that I would give.
I think that's almost verbatim what I wrote. That timeline, 20s through the 60s, happens to loosely correspond to the Great Depression, two world wars, and the baby boom, and GIs returning home. And these were all things that, you know, we're going to get into as we settle into sort of the conditions that brought to life the Great American Songbook. Each of those things I just mentioned were contributing factors, but they're standards. A lot of people will think of them as standards. I think you can kind of use them interchangeably to some extent. And it's a living document. If you want to think of it in, you know, kind of linear terms, we are adding to it even as we speak, and we'll get to that in some of our later coverage of the songbook. But I think it continues to evolve and grow. And in short, too, there are songs that can be given any variety of musical treatments. We're going to play you one today that I think you'll find interesting that actually has a Texas swing lilt to it by our friend Elijah Rock. And that I hadn't heard, you know, very often, and it is really excellent stuff. So I thought as a way of, you know, getting folks acquainted from at least our perspective, Greg, we'd play, we'd intersperse some standards, some songs that we think are important as it relates to the Great American Songbook here as we get started. But I want to, before we do any of that, talk about, you know, our history. I think it's important that we be mindful of, you know, the shoulders that artists of today are standing on. Jazz is an American concoction. We invented this stuff, and it wasn't easy. I mean, the conditions were very difficult for players, and, you know, as many things as we got right as a country, we made it damn tough for a lot of these players in the early days. Two that we were going to play here in a minute, Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, had it tough, man. They had 25 more hurdles than everybody else to hop over to make their music heard. And but, you know, at the end of the day, they persevered and they prevailed, and they produced this just wonderful, wonderful music. But, you know, looking back, Greg, I know all months are important in our history as it relates to jazz. But what happened, say, in October or September that you regard as important?
Okay, well, today is the birthday of a special guy, a bass player, a fabulous bass player. He was born in 1926 in Sellers, Louisiana. And today is Ray Brown, the great Ray Brown's birthday.
Man.
Wow. Yep. And also, he's sharing a birthday with the great Art Tatum. And he was born in 1909 in Toledo, Ohio. So
right down the road.
I think that's pretty great. Ray Brown
I'll
and
say.
Art Tatum, that's two-thirds of the hottest rhythm section east of the Mississippi. Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
but,
that's one
just,
way to put it.
Yeah, just would be the hottest, two-thirds of the hottest rhythm section in the world, tell you the truth. And also, Lee Konitz, he was born in 1927, right here in Chicago, Illinois. So,
I'll be damned.
Three great players born in the same day.
Can you imagine that? Something special about that day. That's for sure. When you hear Ray Brown, you consider him as the gold standard, I guess a lot of people do, at least people my age. Might first think of him as the quintessential bass player, and Art Tatum just a monster. And we're going to look at those folks and you know, their contributions, because they were really instrumental, no pun intended, to making this music consumable to people. You know, they brought it forward and in such a way where more people could hear it and dance to it and buy it and make it flourish, and thank God they did. So that's great. I appreciate you sharing that history with us, Greg. I was at a club the other night. I'll tell you a quick thing. I was eavesdropping. I know that's rude, but I heard a couple of players, they were on break, and they were talking about something, and they were using kind of their own language. I couldn't even understand half of it, but it was a parlance all their own, and I couldn't have felt less hip, less hep. As I was out, I was on the outside looking in, and I heard a few things. I wondered if maybe as a player you can help me with. Are you willing to play along with that?
Only because it's you, Scott. I'm going to play along. Only because
we've
got,
only because we've written the segment. one guy said to the other guy, he said, that solo was burnt toast. Does that mean anything to you?
All right. Burnt toast. You wouldn't think it would be something endearing, but it's like a fabulous, a great solo. And don't laugh at me, but it's a fabulous solo. So hot that it set the smoke detectors off in the club. So
that's hot. So burnt toast. Yeah, that's meant as a compliment. It's not like where the place is about to burn down. It's a compliment. All right. So that was it. You guys played like burnt toast, or that particular part was burnt. Now you've maybe heard of. I said something about Al Di Meola. He suffers from Al Di Meola syndrome. Now, I know who Al Di Meola does, but I didn't know there was a syndrome named after him. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, Scott, I'll tell you, that's not my definition, but I'm going to say it.
No.
Like a musician or a guitar player that's been at a club or a situation the longest, for 10 years or longer, and often playing like real fast and I think that's about all I know about that. I think
to remain a mystery, I don't know. He loses me sometimes. He plays a little fast for me, and sometimes I think that's one of the challenges of. You know, if I hear people say sometimes, oh, I don't like jazz, I just can't hear it, I can't tap my toe to it, it doesn't call to me. And I think it's because it is a little more complicated, a little harder to get your ear around, excuse me, when you first start listening. Even Coltrane, you listen to some of his stuff, and wonderful as he is and was and is, some of it is lost on me just because I think it's over my head. And players might be able to make sense of it. They could probably, make sense of the time signatures and, some of the complicated connections to the melody. But if it gets too far away from the melody for a guy like me, I tend to move along, So another thing came up in this conversation I was listening to. The guy said, well, he's pulling the old Claude Rains on you, the Invisible Man. He's pulling that on you. I don't. It didn't sound like they were happy when they were saying it. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, it does. Although the people that I mix with today, I haven't had to deal with that. But at the end of the night, but I have dealt with that in my life. But at the end of the night, the club owner disappears when it's time to pay. When it's time to get the money, you can't find him anywhere.
Where'd he go?
That's definitely not a problem at the Green Mill or any of the other places we played. No problems. But I remember when there was problems and went through that quite a bit. I'm sure every musician has gone through that.
I bet every musician has been there. Pulled a Claude Rains on me. And in the next sentence, he said we got to do a little ghost busting. The kids use the term ghosting when somebody kind of hides on them or whatever. Is that what they're talking about here?
Well, in this situation, you want to go, and since the you're trying to figure out where the club owner has gone, why is he's disappeared when it's time to play. Then you want to get a step ahead for next time. You want to go find his hiding place and see where he goes. And then and you can go directly to him or her there and bust them and find their hiding place and get your money.
So you got to, it's like hide and seek, find that check. Oh my God.
There you go.
Funny. You got to be preemptive. You got to be, you got to get ahead of, them. So scout
right.
out your locations, possible
right.
Hiding spots. Oh, hysterical. Now, if you,
right.
if someone is called, a stuffed shirt, what does that mean? It seemed like they were talking about another player in another band, but they said, oh, he's just a stuffed shirt.
Somebody, I guess, I'm taking a guess on this one because I'm not sure, but person that Stuffy follows the rules. There's no leeway in the music. Everything is straight down the middle. I would assume that's what it is, but I got to admit that one got past me, so I'm guessing on that one. You have any idea?
Well, that would be a guess. Yeah, I mean, for overly formal. I mean, I've heard. For instance, I've heard. You know, probably lesser players sound better to me just because, you know, you could see that they could swing it, you know, and they were having fun with it, and they understood where the pocket was, and I've heard other players that were maybe better players, I'm not sure or not, but you know, they were perhaps classically trained or whatever, but they just didn't have the swing that I love in music. You get me going with that chug, that slow loping swing chug. It just makes my toes curl. It surely does. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. We've got one that we're going to play a little later by Etta Jones, James, and she just takes it as slow as it can go, and somehow it'll have you tapping your toe even at that tempo. So that's what happens when it's done right. Well, that's helpful to me, Greg. It truly is. I appreciate it because you know I want to be hip. I want to know what I'm listening to, and this certainly is a step in that direction. So I mentioned before, you know, we're going to do an 8-part series, and we're going to, you know, not to get too tangled up in what will be future content, but just to give you these real quick, and then we're going to play some samples of this music. The origins, we talked just a minute ago about, you know, what were the conditions that created the breathing space for the Great American Songbook. Just to reiterate quickly, there were a couple of world wars, the Great Depression, returning GIs, the American Industrial Revolution. People were coming home. They had a little money in their pocket, and they were tired of being down. They wanted something to lift them out of the doldrums, and this music was a big part of that therapy, call it. And I think it was really instrumental in, you know, the success we had as a country, just technologically, and, you know, a lot of homes built, a lot of people flourishing, starting to flourish financially, incomes on the rise and so forth. Not all people, but a good many people were starting to, you know, find their American dream, so to speak. And this music was playing in the background for sure. We're going to look at some of the songwriting duos that brought this music to life, the Gershwin brothers, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Ellington and Strayhorn, and so forth. I mean, we'll go on to discuss more of them and play examples of that music in that particular episode. The lady singers and the lady composers and the lady arrangers, female women, I should probably say, had a very pronounced role in all of this. And we want to certainly acknowledge that because they are laced throughout all of this period of music that was so prolific. And we will be sure to talk about them at length. The crooners, you know, who were the prominent singers of the day, the solo artists, so to speak, the gentleman crooners and the lady singers. We'll talk about them, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, Mel Torme, people like that, and we will be talking about their good contributions. And then the role of jazz was in the Great American Songbook, I think will also interest people because, you know, the show's mostly about jazz, as it relates to the Great American Songbook. Bossa Nova was another key category of music that, you know, crosses the line between, you know, what people might call, you know, standard jazz, and that Bossa Nova music was created and sort of blended and blurred those lines between the two. And then, you know, today's Great American Songbook ambassadors, you know, you got Bublé and Diana Krall and Michael Feinstein and Harry Connick Jr. and a bunch of other people that, you know, are continuing to bang the drum for this important music, and folks coming along all the time. We had one on last week who I think should be in that list, Eliza Rock. He's got all the talent of the people that I just mentioned, and there's room for another person that can move this music forward and keep it alive. I don't think there's any great threat to it ever dying out. It's too good for that. And as it's a breathing document, as I said, I just think it'll always have a space in people's archives. But it should be growing. It should continue to grow and continue to get better as we, you know, just add to it, remembering the old songs, treating them differently with different, you know, arrangements and so forth. But adding to it, when we've got a good one that belongs on here, we should always have room for it. Wouldn't you agree, Greg?
I certainly would. I certainly would, definitely.
I want to play one. Cheek to Cheek is one that people will know, and it was a song. I've got a version of that with Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. It was written by Irving Berlin specifically for the star of a musical with Fred Astaire. The music was Top Hat, also Ginger Rogers in that one. Fred Astaire sings in it, and the song was nominated for Best Song Oscar in 1936. Ended up losing the Lullaby on Broadway, another great song. But it's just a dandy, and I think you guys will enjoy this particular rendition of it. So let me give it a spin.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven. Kids that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb two mountains, reach the highest peak. But it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek. But I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Now, mama, dance with me. I want my arms about you, the charms about you will carry me through. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Take it, Ella, swing it.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the care that hung around me through the week seemed to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Come on and dance with me. I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Yes,
dance with me.
Wow. Lightning in a bottle. Wonderful, Greg. That was just so good. Those two voices together were just magic, weren't they? And then Mr. Armstrong's solo, just fitting and totally wonderful. You know, it occurs to me, Greg, that, you know, there is a formula to some of the big band music, which you were a part of with the Glenn Miller Band. And they, you know, I'm going to play one here that I think proves that point here in a second. It's a song that Sinatra popularized for a movie called Come Dance With Me. And, you know, they start out with a verse of vocals, and little by little they bring in other parts of the band, a little reed, and then they usually finish the last chorus with everybody they got, all hands on deck, to include the trumpets and the trombones and everything else. Is that part of a formula, Greg? I mean, or am I just imagining things?
No, it's part of that. You know, they slowly introduce the melody to different sections in the band, in the big band, maybe saxophones, maybe trombones, maybe trumpets. But at some point in time, they all play portions or hint at the melody. So you're right. You're definitely right.
Yeah, finish big and work your way up to it. Sequentially.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the arrangements of some of these tunes. And I know the arrangers, people particularly arranging the horns, you know, I don't know that they get enough credit, because, you know, I find myself, my ear goes right to that. And when they get it done right, it's just so much fun. It just punctuates everything else that's going on. So let me play this for people, see if you agree.
Hey there, cutes, put on your dancing boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Pretty face, I know a swinging place. Come on, dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm swings, what lovely things I'll be saying. 'Cause what is dancing but making love set to music playing? When the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam, as we waltz home cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on, come on and dance with me. Hey there, cutes, put on your bassy boots and come dance with me. Come dance with me, what an evening for some terpsichore. Pretty face, I know a swinging place. Come on, dance with me. Romance with me on a crowded floor. And while the rhythm swings, what cuckoo things I'll be saying. For what is dancing but making love set to music playing? When the band begins to leave the stand and folks start to roam, as we wing home cheek to cheek we'll be. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on and dance with me.
Wow. Wow. They say Sinatra used to really put a lot of time into his phrasing. You take days to get that right on a song, and you can really hear it there in another of his works. But I swear to God, those horns just kill me. Beautiful stuff. Greg, you sat right in front of or behind a wonderful horn section in the Glenn Miller Band, arguably one of the very best. And you mentioned as we were putting this show together how much you enjoyed the American Patrol, which I played as one of my favorites when I was taking lessons as a kid on the keyboard. Talk a little bit about playing that every night with the Glenn Miller Band, if you wouldn't mind.
No, not at all. American Patrol, when I got with the band, I was 17, but I always stress, I wasn't 17 years old playing with Miles Davis like Tony Williams was. So I just, for whatever reason, I have to say that. But I was 17 playing with Glenn Miller Orchestra, and there was a couple of tunes that were in the book that were, you know, a big feature, or not a huge feature. One was a big feature in American Patrol. I definitely had some solo breaks and to set up the band. And so one thing that I remember, because they set the music down and reading the music, I was always, well, not always, it happened a couple of times, coming out wrong with the band. And I took the music and I looked, and there was a couple of mistakes that wasn't the prior drummer. didn't correct. So that continues.
Oh, really?
That's one important thing. But if you see a mistake in the music, fix it. Pencil in for the next guy that's coming. So after a couple of times, I figured it out, and then it became one of my favorite songs to play in that band. And then every night we played it, and it was just great. It was exciting, and there was different things, different moves that the band did with their horns throughout the song.
Yeah.
So it came to be. So I got yelled at a couple of times when I played it wrong, but then the music was not quite right. So it was nice not to get yelled at and to play it right, but it was one of my favorite songs to play it.
Isn't it funny?
In the band. It was really nice.
It became the standard bearer for that particular, popularized by Glenn Miller. I don't know who. Let's have a look here. March music written back in 1885 by Frank White Meacham and ultimately popularized, as we both have stated here, by Glenn Miller's band, who find a way to swing a march, which you were a big part of as you were leading that rhythm section. Let's give it a listen. Yeah, there's some tunes you can just tell the band is having fun. That's one of them, Greg. I got a hunch that you guys like playing that one. all kinds of little embellishments and little cool parts that add to the totality of that great tune. March Swung All to Hell. Great stuff. I don't know where you are. You might not have been on that recording. I'm not even sure, but you played that every night, as I mentioned. And I wonder if you'd indulge me and say how you came to be in that band. It's kind of an interesting story that people I know will enjoy hearing.
Okay, I wasn't on that one. The American Patrol that I recorded was the direct to disc sound of the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
I see. Yep.
And there's and I was on that one. But I was going to Interlochen Arts Academy, and I was singing in high school. And we Interlochen is a school that's about 30 miles or so away from Traverse City, Michigan. And you lived at school and you studied fine arts, music, but you could go for dance, you could go for drama or writing, English writing. So we got through with jazz band rehearsal, and the director of the band and a teacher of trombone there was a guy named Dave Sporny. And right after rehearsal, he came to my room, knocked on my dormitory room, and I kind of thought I was in trouble. I didn't know he never comes to the room. So he said that the Glenn Miller Orchestra was coming to play a concert that night. So I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, they fired the drummer the night before. And another term for ghosts. That's what the guys are creeping. The guys, if somebody didn't want to play in the band anymore, in the middle of the night, they just snuck out of their hotel room and left. Well, this guy apparently did that. And he said, I want you to play. And I think you can do it. I wouldn't put you in any situation that you couldn't do. So I said, okay. So I got a couple of Glenn Miller records, and I didn't say okay as fast as I'm saying it now, but I listened to and got the style down. And I used to watch those movies, the Gene Krupa story, the Glenn Miller story, when I was growing up as a kid. So that was great. And I just listened and got the style down a little bit, and they came in, and leader opened the door, said, try on a coat, one of the uniform jackets, and I found one that fit and gave me a stack of music, and sight read and just played the concert. And during the concert, he asked if I wanted to go on a road with him. And I said, I had to ask my mom and find out. But I was graduating from school. I graduated in June. And they called like in the first part of July, and my parents loaded up the car, loaded up my drums, and we were headed to meet the band at Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And as we were driving down 94, the highway in Wisconsin, we saw the band bus, and my dad got their attention, and they pulled over to the side of the road, literally, turned on flashers. Some guys came out, grabbed my drums, loaded them up. My dad was kicking me out the car. My mom was crying. And I left and went on the road from Highway 94, Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And that was my introduction to roadies.
Oh, man. No pressure.
All
no
over.
Pressure there.
Yeah.
You were in. You were part of the in crowd. You went from student to hep cat in about 20 minutes. Just the idea
that's
of
right.
being alongside the expressway, the bus pulls up and you're pushing a kick drum down the middle of a bus aisle. I just love that story because it just shows you. How fast things can change. Good players get work, man, and they saw it in you, and it's continued to be the case, folks. Greg Rockingham is an institution here in Chicago and elsewhere. He is a very important drummer, and you know, folks recognize that about his game even early on. And his band, which we'll play here in a couple minutes, we'll give you proof of the same. Well, Greg, thank you for sharing that. And I'll have to find, and we'll play it another time, the version that you play on. I did not find that one right off, but I'm sure it's out there. I just didn't find that to upload, but I will. So, you know, that being, you know, a song written originally, what did I say, back in 1885 as a march, you know, marches mm-hmm. have a beat, they do, but you don't think of them as swinging, do you? And yet this decidedly is a swing song in the way that it's treated here. So I think one of the attributes of standards that you know are part of the Great American Songbook is that they can be performed any number of ways with different instrumentation and time signatures and vocal treatments and so forth. And we heard a week ago from Eliza Rock a version of "I'm Going to Sit Right Down and Write Myself a Letter" that would have made Bob Wills of the Texas Playboys smile. He swings it, man. It's a decidedly Western swing, and as I understand it, played with Nashville Cats, players from Nashville. It was recorded there using Nashville players, and you will hear the influence of Nashville and swing music in this one, if you'll indulge me.
And write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom, I'm so glad I got them. I'm gonna smile and say I hope you're feeling better.
Feeling better.
And close with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down to write myself the sweetest letter and make believe it came from you.
Is what is planned. He is getting married, and he has agreed to sit in and be a part of some of the discussion of the Great American Songbook. So we'll be playing more of his good works downstream. But terrific version, Greg. Unexpected. I don't think I've ever heard a Texas swing approach applied to that particular song, at least. So interesting stuff. You with a former band of yours, the Deep Blue Organ Trio, did one called "Willow Weep for Me," which folks will know. What they may not know is that it was composed by a woman, Ann Ronell, who wrote the lyrics and the music, and you know, considered an important standard. It's one of my very favorites. I just love it, and I love what you've done with it as a B3 combo with some wonderful guitar work and you keeping a steady beat throughout. Greg, anything we should know about this recording that you'd like to share?
You know, I'm not even sure if, I don't think the guys in the band even were aware of this, or if I hadn't mentioned it. I might have mentioned it to Chris, but the intro to that Willow Weep for Me, I got from my dad, and he didn't even know I was paying attention, and he's passed away, so I hope he's listening up there. But part of that intro was like Killer Joe. My dad used to play this intro of Killer Joe, and that was what we had in mind when we started this particular song. And after that, we just had a great time with it, and just let everything happen.
You know, what do they say? All art is imitation, and you know, you were listening, and that's evident in your play, and I know our early influences stick with us. So we're going to dedicate this one to Greg and his dad. Thank you. That's my friend Greg Rockingham on sticks there. The Soul Message Band is somebody I encourage our listeners to explore. They're available on iTunes and elsewhere. They've got new record coming out here, which I'll let Greg talk a little bit about here in a second. But you'll find them easily on iTunes and other places you can buy your digital music. It's wonderful stuff. If you like a B3 like I do, Chris Foreman on display there. Bobby Broom, who I don't think is with the band anymore, but Lee Rothenberg is a wonderful guitarist who plays in the Soul Message Band and can be heard each week over at the Green Mill in Chicago here. But Greg, where are you playing these days? Tell us a little bit about where people can see you folks live.
Okay. As you mentioned, we play at the Green Mill every Sunday from 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. The trio, guitar,
yep.
B3, and drums. And then also, well, we move around a lot, but on Saturdays, north of Chicago, actually right in between Milwaukee and Chicago, in Waukegan, on the Saturdays that we're available, and there's quite a few Saturdays that we want to make available, there's a place
yep.
called 4114 Club,
mm-hmm.
and it's connected to a create-your-own cheesecake. This owner of this place created his own cheesecake recipe, and we, in the restaurant area, we play there on Saturdays from 7 to about 10 or 10:30, and it's a real good place. It's a great food. It's informal. And there's no cover charge. So the guy, Josh, the owner, and the manager, Veronica, they treat people right. They make sure everybody's taken care of, everything's safe. And it's just a wonderful place. And there we have a saxophone player, the wonderful Chris Mattson, that plays with us. So, and then we move all over the city and out of town a lot too, but you can find out wherever we are on our Facebook, our website, which is soulmessage.com, www.soulmessageband@yahoo.com. And but the place that we play here in Waukegan, the Green Mill is well established, and so we're hoping to build the audience over here at 4114 as well. So that's about it for me.
Yeah, you're doing it, Greg, and I've seen you at 4114. It's a great venue, excellent sound, friendly staff. Josh will take great care of you, and you can have one thing I've noticed about jazz players is they're quite approachable, and you want to talk to them about music or other things, you can usually get them to spend a few minutes with you or a minute with you anyway. And it's very cool to rub elbows with world-class players, which is the case with Chris and you and the other Chris and Lee. These guys are monster players, and they are right there. I mean, inches from you. You can sit up close, or you can cozy up a little further back. But the acoustics are good all through the venue, and I encourage people to see them there or at the Green Mill, which Greg to say is established. They're an institution around here, like yourself, Greg. The Green Mill is a really important venue. It's one of really two in Chicago that people think of when they think about, world-class jazz music. And Greg and his band have been, you've pretty much had a lockdown on Sunday night for years, as I understand it. And that doesn't happen unless you're getting people in to see them. And, that's testament to how great you guys are and to how smart they are. So see them either place. And then their website, the soulmessageband.com, is posted as a part of The show details on our homepage on Blog Talk. So if you go to this particular show and future shows, you will have a link to our website, the show site, the Jazz Mill, and Greg's band site is there as well. And he has mugs, band mugs, which are great little stocking stuffers, and so does the Jazz Mill. So if you folks are interested in you know, a little something for underneath the Christmas tree, we'll get those right out to you if you are not seeing us live, or you know, for purposes of the show, you order them on our website and we'll ship them right out to you at no cost. So let us know if you want those. They're easy to order. Greg, I want to thank you, man. I think we've got, hopefully, people, we've whet their curiosity for a discussion, a deeper dive into the Great American Songbook. We're going to do the things we've talked about already. We've got, you know, the songwriter duos will be the next thing that we talk about. So we're going to, you know, look at those combos that made all this music, all this wonderful music, the Gershwin brothers and Rodgers and Hammerstein and Ellington and Strayhorn and so forth and so on. So there'll be probably five or six of them that we sort of get in, get cozy with, and acquaint you with, you know, their good work, and you know, for your edification and entertainment. I think you should tune in. That's what I think. So, Greg, on behalf of you and myself, I want to thank everybody for listening. Tune in at this time if you want to catch us live. Most of you will probably hear this after the fact, but we do broadcast live. If you know, you want to hear it live, that's fine. You can do that on the Blog Talk portal. Just type in the Jazz Mill at about 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons, and we'll pop up, and you can hear us, and you can also participate in the chat room. You can call the show there, and then if you want to catch us after the fact, you can, you know, download us to your listening device and hear us anytime it's convenient for you. Just the same, you'll get exactly the same content for free. So if you dig us, tell your friends about us, won't you please? I'm going to play you out. Greg, thanks again for being on today. I'm going to play you out with an artist that's relatively new to me. I got to say that until I dug into something else we were doing on the show, I was not familiar to any extent to the good works of Little Jimmy Scott. And if you have not heard him, I want you to sit down and cozy up with this one. It's an old standard. It's one from the Great American Songbook called The Nearness of You, and it's given such a tender treatment, the first half in particular, by Little Jimmy Scott. And then he is joined, excuse me, in the second half by another voice, which you might have heard before. See if maybe you can figure out who this is. And again, folks, thanks so much for listening. Stay swinging. I'm sure that you will.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you . It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no. the nearness of you. When you're in my and I feel you so close to me, yeah. Oh, my wild, let's dream come true. Somehow did you
the minute.